The Evan Bray Show. The Round Table of Justice.
Well, good morning and welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here on a Monday morning, 10 o'clock. So every Monday at 10 o'clock, it's what we do. We stop down for about an hour and we have a conversation with different guests from, they can be from around the province, they can be from outside of the province. We've had them from all over the country talking about issues that pertain to public safety. They can maybe pertain to legal decisions that have been made, could be current court cases, could be big files that are in the news. We often talk about, and I feel like this has been ramping up over the last little while, the number of youth that are involved in crime. Just last week in Saskatoon, we saw another incident where a young, I'm going to say child, 14-year-old, was involved in an assault on a 64-year-old man. We saw a teen involved in a serious assault that happened in the Fairhaven area. We talk about teen challenges and youth challenges when it comes to crime. In many cases, it can be quite violent crime. We've seen a number of youth in this province over the last few years charged with homicide, for example, involved in the most serious crime that there is, killing another person. And in many cases, these are young children that are going to court and are facing this. And I think this is not a new phenomenon. This has been happening for a long time. And I've told this story to people before, but I remember one night we got dispatched to a robbery that occurred. It was a street robbery that occurred. A person had cell phone, wallet, and some shoes, I think, stolen. And it was, they said, younger people that had committed the crime. They jumped in a car and they took off. We spotted the car. It was driving in North Central Regina. We activated our lights to pull the car over. The car didn't stop, which is pretty typical. We could see there was three people in the vehicle. The car driving very badly, moments after we initiated the traffic stop, hit a tree. And of course, the vehicle stopped. Two kids bailed out of the car. The driver did not. And so we ran up, grabbed the driver of the car. And I'll never forget when I opened the driver's door and looked in, I was not looking at what I would consider to be a young adult. I was looking at a child. This guy, he was so little. I'm actually surprised he could see over the steering wheel. He was not quite 13 years old, so he was still 12. And I grabbed onto his wrist to get him to come out of the car. He didn't resist it at any way. In fact, I could tell he was quite scared. So we get him in the back of the police car. We take him down to cells. And as we're going through the booking process, he had a few incidents with police, hadn't been formally charged with anything, but was driving a stolen car, had been involved in a robbery. We're still investigating. So we're booking him into cells for sure. And I said, do you need anything? I mean, typically we'll grab a drink of water or something as we're putting them. Sometimes they might ask for a blanket as they're going into a cell. And he said, you guys have coloring books? I will never forget that. Like, never as long as I live will I forget looking at this child, 12 years old, driving a getaway car in a robbery, high-speed chase with police, get him into cells, and he says, do you have coloring books? It speaks to the fact that these are children. And yeah, they're children making bad decisions. In many cases, they're doing terrible things. But why are they doing that? Why is that happening? And what can be done? What should be done? What needs to be done to intervene? This is what the topic of the show is about today. And I've got a few different guests that are joining us. In fact, we're starting off with two different guests, both of which I've had the pleasure of working with through the years. I'll start by introducing Deputy Chief Farrica Prince. Deputy Chief Prince is from Prince Albert Police Service and joins me from her office today. Deputy Chief, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thanks for having me today.
And Lisa Fry is also joining me. Lisa, at one time an educator, longtime educator in the city of Regina, is now the coordinator of TRIP. TRIP standing for the Regina Intersectoral Partnership. Lisa Fry joining me in studio. Lisa, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me as well.
Great to have you both. So, Farrica, I just told my story, and I mean, that's one of hundreds that I have. You've been policing for, what, 20-some years now. You've got lots of your own stories. Do you think it's getting worse, getting better in terms of the number of youth being involved in crime?
You know, Evan, that's that story that you just told really hits home, and you're right. There's a number of stories I could recall from, you know, my years in policing, but I want to talk about something that just happened less than 2 months ago here in Prince Albert. So, same thing, 14-year-old youth. We received a call of people walking on the street. Looks like one of them has a shotgun. And so our members attend, and the group disperses. Foot chase ensues, and we end up arresting, you know, a young child, 14 years old, a young man, who had a shotgun on his person. And so, you know, the reality of that Monday, the reality of Monday morning, I remember coming into the office, this was just 2 months ago, and thinking, thank goodness the situation ended like this, because this could be a very different Monday morning for Prince Albert Police Service, for Prince Albert as a community, for that child's family. And so, you know, that kind of kick-started some conversation around town. You know, we often hear public outcry or public requests for police. Where were police? How come, you know, how come things are out of control in the community? And this was an opportunity for me to ask, like, where is this child's community? Where's his connection? Where's his identity? Where's his belonging? You know, why is this child in survival mode as opposed to, you know, pursuing a sense of purpose? And so, you know, we look at you know, why children are getting involved in gangs and why children are getting involved in crime is really because they're lacking that connection, identity, belonging, right? They want people, they want community, they need to know or feel like they belong somewhere, safe, or and they're not finding that either, you know, in their family units or you know, in their communities. So they're finding it through a sense of purpose with you know, people who are living lives of crime. So, you know, I don't know if it's getting worse, Evan, but I would say that it seems to be getting more and more violent.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point. You think about, you know, pulling up into a back alley 25 years ago, kids with lighters trying to start a garbage bin on fire. I'm not in any way suggesting that that's not a problem, but, you know, that's things that mischievous kids do, whether they've got a good supportive family or not, and there's an opportunity for intervention. But when you're talking about walking down the street with a gun, driving a getaway car in a robbery, I mean, these types of things are a lot different. But Farrakhan, I feel as though one of the other things that is happening is more and more police agencies are not just stopping the investigation with the traditional, you know, had the gun, charged with the gun, move this on to court, but digging deeper to understand, how did that child end up with the gun? Can you talk about the efforts Prince Albert Police do when it comes to, you know, the back end of those types of investigations?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point. You know, being fairly new to Prince Albert, coming in 2021, I'm still continuously impressed on how the community really comes together. We work really closely with a lot of community partners, trying to connect, you know, trying to connect the youth with different resources that are available. It's pretty impressive. We have some fantastic groups in the community, like you know, different cadet corps or community building youth futures, and just trying to get these children pointed in the right direction and get the family the resources they need. We have Bernice Ace Center here in Prince Albert. That's really a family resource center, and you know, they're the specialists of, you know, getting to the root of the issues and being able to support families. So we're really lucky to have the community partners here. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take our first break. Deputy Chief Farrakhan Prince is my guest. Deputy Chief of Prince Albert Police Service. Lisa Fry is also with me, the coordinator of the Regina Intersectoral Partnership. This is not a new entity. In fact, it's been around in the province and in the city of Regina for quite some time, but they do groundbreaking work, a lot of which is actually patterned after some early trials in Prince Albert, where they put together a bit of a hub approach to how they were going to deal with challenging problems. This Regina Intersectoral electoral partnership has lots of similarities to that. We're going to talk with Lisa Fry and again, Deputy Chief Farrica Prince when we come back here on 650 CKOM 980 CJME.
All right.
The Evan Bray Show. The Roundtable of Justice.
Today on the Roundtable of Justice, we are talking about efforts that go into preventing youth from sliding into a life of crime, essentially, because we know it's a slippery slope, especially once if there's early indicators that youth are predisposed or vulnerable to being involved in crime. Often, if like some sort of a kind of an intersection isn't made or intervention to prevent that from happening, once the child is charged, they're released on conditions, they breach their conditions, before you know it, it becomes a vicious cycle. And it can, in many cases, become a lifetime of challenge, not only for that youth, for the family, for the community, when maybe early intervention could have made a difference. That's where one of my other guests comes in. We've been chatting with Deputy Chief Farrica Prince, who is Deputy Chief with the Prince Albert Police Service. But I've also got Lisa Fry joining me. Lisa is the coordinator for the Regina Intersectoral Partnership. Lisa was, I think you were a principal the last time you and I are a superintendent. Okay, the last time. So you had a long career as an educator in the Regina Public Schools.
Correct.
But then retire and decide you're still going to do that. What about this work intrigued you?
Well, I still want to be involved in helping kids and families. And TRIP does great work. They reach out to families. They provide a level of support to help families navigate barriers if that's there. Get kids connected with activities, pro-social right. activities that lots of kids wouldn't get that opportunity to have. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was excited to be a part of it. TRIP's a great team, and they do fantastic work for kids in the community.
The acronym TRIP, again, stands for the Regina Intersectoral Partnership. So talk a little bit about, I know you set the stage there as to why you were interested, but what does the team look like at TRIP, and what does the team actually do? What's the goal?
Okay, so we are an innovative collaborative. So we have representation from the Regina Police Service. We have a crime prevention strategist who's with us half-time. We have a full-time police officer who's our intake and referral officer. We have representation from the Ministry of Social Services, Ministry of Health, Child and Youth.
Education's involved?
And both Regina and Public, Regina Catholic, Regina Public School Divisions, and Ministry of Corrections, Policing, and Public Safety have representation.
Right.
Well.
So all of these organizations, ministries come together, I'm guessing, because there's a cost-benefit analysis that can be applied, that if you put in the time and effort up front, you're saving yourself energy later. Is that
for sure? For sure. So a TRIP is a prevention and intervention initiative, and so we want to get involved with kids when behaviors are detected that things are changing. So what can we do to help out this youth to prevent them being involved in the criminal justice
so
system?
So could you give us an example, like what type of behavior might be identified that would cause a referral, and who actually does the referral to the TRIP team?
Anyone can make a referral to TRIP. Most of our referrals do, though, come from the school division because they obviously have most contact with kids.
Right.
Second would be the Regina Police Service. So when they interact with the youth, school resource officers, and so forth, but anybody can make a referral, doctors, family members, community members. So they're seeing changes in behavior, a referral is put in, our team gathers together, we go through a very intensive process, we use a risk-based needs assessment. Does a child fit the profile for us to provide some support for them?
So give me an example, because teachers through the years I've grown to love and appreciate. I mean, teachers, they play such an important role outside of teaching. They know their children inside and out. They know what's going on at home. They know some of the challenges there. So what might be something that an educator or someone in a school could see in a child that causes them to say, you know what, I think I'm going to give TRIP a call?
Changes in classroom behavior, school engagement, attendance, often involvement in some mischief in the community, could have potential charges happening. Mm-hmm. So just, you know, changes that this child, something's going on that wasn't the same and what's happening. And often schools and families have tried everything they can think of and nothing's worked. So we often are the next step.
Right. Lisa Fry is my guest, the TRIP coordinator, TRIP standing for the Regina Intersectoral Partnership. So a referral is done. A teacher sees a child, bad attendance, sleeping in school. This is not the way they've been. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're acting out. They're lippy. They're, you know, causing problems, disruptive. Okay. We want to do an intervention here. They make the call. Is that all that happens, or what type of involvement does the family need to get involved in this, Lisa?
Well, the family has to consent, and 9 out of 10 times families are more than happy to take our help.
Is that right?
Well, for sure. They've tried everything, or they've worked with schools or the agencies involved, and they want the support, they want the help. So like I said, they do a referral. We have a process that we go through to select the youth. And then they're assigned to a case manager, either Regina Public School Division or Regina Catholic. And the case manager then organizes case conferences. They have a team that gets involved at the school level. Sometimes child and youth is there as well. And Ministry of Social Services and everybody, it's a triage. What can we do to help?
Right. So, I mean, I'm guessing each story is very much a unique story because
sure.
Nobody's story is the same.
For
what
sure.
About you? I'm actually surprised when you say the families are 9 out of 10 or whatever you said times mm-hmm. very receptive. What about the children themselves? Because they're now being confronted by an adult who says, hey, we want to help you out, and they're doing it in a proper way. But is there a reception from the youth that say?
I would say so.
Yeah.
For the most part, yes. And we also have support workers that we assign to kids to take them out and get involved in pro-social activities. So sometimes
right.
we get kids involved in organized sports organizations like RMF or...
stands for Regina Minor Football.
Correct, yeah. Or baseball or all those different kinds of things. Take them swimming. Right now in the summer, we have 3 full-time support workers and they're taking kids to camps, out to the beach, football games, like mm-hmm. just giving kids an opportunity to have positive experiences.
Chatting today with Lisa Fry, who is the TRIP coordinator. We've got Deputy Chief Farrica Prince on the phone as well. We're talking about youth that find themselves in crisis and what can be done. And maybe crisis is a strong word, but vulnerable and headed down a path where they would find themselves maybe being involved in crime or maybe being victimized by crime. I mean, that's part of this story as well. I want to take another break. And when we come back with our 2 guests, I want to bring both of them in to talk about some success stories. Because, I mean, ultimately, if you're listening to this conversation and you're saying, okay, but why does this matter to me? It does because maybe you don't get hit by the stolen car that the kid was driving because they were intervened in their life early on by people that care, that people that want to make a difference. There's a ton of great success stories, both from this Regina Intersectoral Partnership and the Prince Albert Police Service with what they've got going on. We'll bring our 2 guests back after the break and we'll talk about some of those success stories, how they measure success and what the future looks like when it comes to preventing youth from falling into a life of crime here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
All right. The Evan Bray Show. The Roundtable of Justice.
Welcome back. Roundtable of Justice is digging into what is being done and what efforts are going into trying to prevent youth from being swept into the criminal justice system. I remember when I first started policing, having this attitude like everybody's in charge of their own destiny. Everybody has the ability to get their life on the right track. And the more I would attend calls, the more I would see some children who I thought, gosh, if there isn't some sort of a intervention that happens, these youngsters have no choice but to head down a path. This is what they're seeing. In many cases, it's what they see in their home. It's or they don't have supervision that leads them to make good decisions. And as a result, they're making decisions that find them, number one, vulnerable to victimization, or number two, committing crimes and doing things because they want to fit in with a group. And that's where my guests today have taken us on a bit of a journey. Deputy Chief Farrica Prince is joining us with the Prince Albert Police Service, and Lisa Fry, who is the coordinator with the Regina Intersectoral Partnership. Lisa, you were talking about the number of groups that are part of this. Mm-hmm. Why are they so interested in being involved? And I'm talking about the people that are actually doing the work, sitting around the table. They must be seeing results. They must be seeing something that shows why this matters to them and why they should keep doing this.
Oh, for sure. And like we talked about earlier, prevention and early intervention is so important because we want to get involved before kids,
right,
you know, start getting into behaviors that is going to be harder for them to come out of. So the staff that we work with, like, they do a wraparound approach and try to provide supports and services for the kids so they can make those positive choices. And I'm just thinking of a couple of, you know, success looks different for every family, right, and every youth. But a couple of kids I'm thinking of, we had one youth who went to Dallas Valley Camp for the first time. And it was such a positive experience for him, and he loved it, and he loved the atmosphere and the influence that it had on him. So when he came back to school, they saw a significant change in him, and he wanted to join a youth group and mm-hmm. just take those steps to make better choices.
So again, on the front end, he would have been someone who clearly was referred because he yes. was displaying less than appropriate behavior,
right,
or something that was concerning.
For sure, yeah.
At the end of it, he's displaying behavior that is, you want, basically used as a role model
right.
for other kids. And sometimes just that intervention can make the difference. Do you measure this in any way, Lisa? Do you have a sense of knowing, you know, how, because I'm thinking if you're getting funding for this or however this is funded, they want to be able to say, here's the benefit of this early investment.
Right. Lots of data for sure.
Right.
And so Our goal is for kids and families to be stabilized, and being stabilized looks different for different families. And sometimes it happens quickly and sometimes it takes longer. Our average involvement with families is around 17 months. However, there are some families that we've been involved with for 3 or 4 years.
Right.
So, you know, that stabilization comes at different timelines.
What about the age of these children? How old are
they? We support youth from 5 to 18 years old.
So some cases pretty early in their life.
For sure. And we actually are seeing more cases, more referrals of younger kids.
And is there an understanding that the younger they are, the better the chance for intervention?
Oh, for sure. Right. The earlier we can get involved and get supports in place, the better they will be long down the road.
How are you funded, by the way?
We are funded through the Ministry of Social Services. They are a primary funder. They pay for, there's 4 trip staff and for pro-social activities. And then everybody else is, I guess, gifted in kind from their organization.
Right. Okay.
Very grateful for that.
And in terms of caseload, and I hate to call it caseload because you're dealing with children.
Right.
But how many children, how many families are you helping?
On average, 85 at any given time. Like I said, the timeline changes for families. Sure. So it's not like it's on a yearly basis. And our case managers from the public school division have about 30 each. And then our case manager from corrections, policing, public safety has around 10 to 12.
And do you have a waiting list?
We do have a waiting list, mm-hmm. unfortunately. The demand is growing, so we don't have the financial or human resources to support
right.
the number
it would
of kids
require for expansion, essentially.
For sure, yeah.
I want to come back to Deputy Chief Farrica Prince, Prince Albert Police Service. I remember reading a story. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Farrica, I think I saw a picture of you involved in Shop with a Cop. You, the Prince Albert Police Service, quite proactive in terms of youth initiatives. Can you hit on a couple and talk about stories of success that you've seen? Whoop, I might have. Whoop, that's my fault, Farrica. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
It's a button pushing problem. Sorry. some examples of some of the initiatives that you guys have got going at Prince Albert.
Right. So, absolutely. We're doing our best here in Prince Albert. But, you know, to Lisa's point, funding is a challenge for us. And we do rely heavily on our community partners for initiatives like Shop with a Cop. And, you know, our Raiders nights, and we rely really on the schools to help us identify maybe children who are a little bit more vulnerable or wouldn't normally, you know, be able to experience an outing or, you know, to go buy Christmas gifts for their families. So, you know, they help us identify the the children that, you know, would benefit from that experience, and then different community partners are chipping in with donations. And so, you know, the impact to those kids, you know, we'll see those in 10, 15 years, but I'll tell you, the impact to our police officers who get to experience that, it's really humbling, and it re-energizes us, reminds us of, you know, why we're here to, you know, help our community and help these young ones. And what that looks like in 10, 15 years, what, you know, the outcome of that, often we're always hiring new police officers, but very often, you know, in speaking with the new recruits, you know, why do you want to get into policing? And they often say that because they had a, you know, positive experience with a police officer when they were when they were in that young age, that, you know, 5 to 15 years old. And so we try to create as many opportunities for that to happen. But, you know, there are challenges, and thankfully we have community partners like Lisa's organization.
How much of it, Deputy Chief Prince, is also about, in the case of Indigenous youth, finding a way to involve culture? Because I'm thinking about, I know you're involved with a youth community powwow, which obviously brings culture in a big way. How important is that?
Absolutely. So that program that runs Heart of Youth Powwow is called Community Building Youth Futures. And their whole intention, Evan, is to create a sense of connection, identity, belonging for, you know, to help these young people find their people, find their safe space, find out who they are, and really build those connections to the community and to each other. It's especially difficult for children who are in urban settings to, you know, to find the connections to culture. But, you know, thankfully here in Prince Albert, we have quite a few resources through PAGC, Métis Nation, and the City of Prince Albert with their commitment to their culture plan, a lot of resources out there. It's just being able to navigate, right? So lots of resources out there, but the community or the people who actually need them may not know about them. So creating awareness is super important.
And such a good leadership role that the police can play. And I know you and Chief Patrick Noje and the team at Prince Albert Police Service, such a big part of that. Lisa, I want to come back to you. You mentioned the Dallas Valley Camp success story. Mm-hmm. You were talking about, you had another one as well involving sport, I think.
I did. I'm thinking of a youth who was having some difficulty at school, attendance, behavior in class, and, you know, getting involved in some community mischief. And he was enrolled in playing in the Regina Minor Football League. And did so well, it just turned him around. Again, positive influences, people that could guide and mentor him. And last year, we got a video from his mom that he got Most Improved Player.
Wow.
So he loved it. And again, those experiences for kids to have that positive influence and helps so much.
And knowing what I know about TRIP, I mean, it could be getting the youth registered, but also it could be getting them to the football
for
practices,
sure. Yeah.
Right? Like,
help
it's
them get equipment,
literally
get
reducing any barrier,
yes,
that could exist. And you mentioned the support from families when you reach out and say, your child has been
referred
to us. We would like to work with you. The response has been positive. You see that positive, effusive thanks from families and communities after the fact as well?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Lots of families are very grateful for the support and just the guidance and help to navigate systems, whether that's helping to get their child, get an assessment with Child and Youth,
right,
or improve attendance at school. Very grateful.
Good stuff. Okay, we got to take another break. In fact, I've got a new guest coming in just after the next break, so I will thank Deputy Chief Farrica Prince with the Prince Albert Police Service. Farrica, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And Lisa Fry, who is TRIP Coordinator, the Regina Intersectoral Partnership, thank you for your time
today.
Thank
you so much, Evan.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with another leader in a community in the province who has got an initiative with youth that is making an absolute difference. We'll talk with Brian Lewis with Growing Young Movers next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. As we continue on with the Roundtable of Justice today, we focus on different youth initiatives that are making an absolute change in the lives of youth, and in many cases, the the interception that is needed to prevent that youth from falling into, whether it be victimization, and a life that could easily be vulnerable to going down the wrong path. My next guest is someone who has had experience working in a couple of different industries, and I think that perspective, we'll find out momentarily, has helped Brian Lewis with his vision of the organization that he heads up. Brian Lewis is the executive director of Growing Young Movers Youth Development, Inc., an incredible organization based out of the city of Regina. Brian Lewis joins me now. Brian, thanks so much for taking the call.
Evan, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So tell me where the vision came from Growing Young Movers, or GYM, as you call it.
Yeah, so it really started about 13 years ago, just briefly. I needed to find a way to connect with young people. I was an educator, still am an educator, and I was doing some doctoral work at the time and just getting into it. And the whole purpose of starting our work was to understand the experiences of young people. So that's really how it started 13 years ago, with a one day after school program that we acronymed GYM, Growing Young Movers.
So what do you do? What is the program, Brian?
Honestly, it's we do a lot of different programming, but the model, if you want to call it, remains a constant with us. And it's an intergenerational mentorship model is what we would kind of deem it. We employ high school youth from Scott Collegiate within North Central Regina to work alongside youth ages 5 to 15 years old within the community in after-school programs, weekend programming, evening programming, many tied around physical fitness and physical activity, but others around cultural types of activities or art activities. But the whole premise is young people who are great leaders from North Central Regina are getting paid and employed to work with younger youth from the community.
It's a great concept. Can you tell me how you're seeing that play out? I know you have a vision for it, but you've been doing this, as you said, for a number of years now. Tell me what the impact is of the work that your crew is doing.
Well, it's, you know, multifaceted, but one of our biggest pieces is the education piece. We believe that education, as an old elder who passed many years ago now, Mike Panay, said, education is the new buffalo. We believe education is the ticket, and we employ kids that are going to school at Scott Collegiate. And we're noticing and seeing and tracking with our data that almost 88% of the kids that work with us are graduating high school, which is significantly higher than the rates of Indigenous youth graduating in our province, and it's making an impact for sure. And then, you know, to go beyond that, just the impact it's having on the young folks who start as little ones in our program and end up coming to Scott Collegiate and are employed with us and then graduate high school and remain employed with us. So. Mm-hmm.
That obviously is a testament to the program. If you've got someone who benefits from it as a youth and then wants to stay involved in their teen years, what about after they graduate high school? You talk about the 88% graduation rate. Are you seeing this have a positive impact also on those leaders that you're employing to do this work, on what they take on in their life post-school?
Yeah, I do. I think it's hard to measure that. It's you know, in colonial society, we have an understanding of when we grew up, you know, you finish high school, you move on to more post-secondary, you find a career. That's not necessarily a sign of success for many folks. But we do see that, you know, the graduation is allowing more doors to be open. A number of kids that graduate high school, they still have the opportunity to work with us. We're expanding to the point where we're trying to get more full-time employment for the young folks who come through our program and graduate high school, to have a chance to still stay connected. Because like your previous guest said, connection, sense of belonging is so important. And it's a big reason why we're as successful as we are.
How are you funded? We've only got about a minute left, Brian, yeah. But I'm curious to know, you're paying these high school students to be the positive role models, to work with these youngsters. Where does that money, where does that funding come from?
a lot of our funds is through granting agencies. So Community Initiatives Fund is one. Jumpstart is another. City of Regina offers some funding through different grants they have. You know, there's Saskatchewan Lotteries who gives us funds. And then we have some private donors like Mosaic Company has sponsored us. And we've received some significant federal dollars through a Building Safer Communities Fund as well that's allocated through the city. Just trying to continue to grow with success means more need for more funds, as your past guest said. And, you know, I'll come on another time and talk about our social enterprise endeavor we're about to take on in the fall here as well.
I'm looking forward to that conversation. Brian, we appreciate you joining today's conversation. Congrats on the success so far with Growing Young Movers. I look forward to chatting soon.
Thanks, Evan.
Brian Lewis, Executive Director of Growing Young Movers Youth Development Incorporated, just one of many examples. This province has so many community groups focused and organizations focused on helping youth hit the right path, that when we hear those stories about youth that are committing crime in the communities, that the hope is, the goal is that those become obviously the exception to the rule. It's very much that way right now, but with more of these programs, more efforts, more collaborative effort, we know that it is going to continue to make a positive difference in terms of not only community safety, but the wellness of the youth and the families in our province. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.